Well, really, I wanted to get a little more Baltic specific. What is the sort of specific strategic threat that the Baltic states face at the moment?
Intimidation, but there's a political aim behind it. The political aim is to destroy confidence between the Baltic states and the alliance that they're part of and the European Union that they are part of. And in doing so, to change the internal political balance here so that parties that have a cordial relationship with Moscow and are trusted by Moscow are seen mistakenly by the public as the parties that can offer real safety for the Baltic states. The mayor of Latvia has recently said, as long as mayor of Riga recently said, as long as I am mayor, as long as I am important here, there will be no Russian threat here. Well, this is what Russian policy is designed to encourage. The way they're encouraging it now is to try to persuade not only the Baltic states, but others, that Putin is on the verge of going crazy, and if you stand up to him, you will provoke him into crossing a red line and into very dangerous escalation, which could include swift occupation of the Baltic states, which could include nuclear weapons. He has rattled the nuclear saber more than once, in private conversations as well as more public conversations. And this is all done for a purpose. I doubt very much, from my knowledge of Russia, that a country, let alone Russia, that was planning to start a nuclear war would behave this way. But this represents exploitation of fear. There's always a political aim. I do not see a political aim today for Russia to attack NATO and start a war with NATO. Russia has more than enough on its hands. Russia is not nearly as strong as it appears at the moment. Their defense system is under considerable strain in Ukraine. This is why they are so desperate to find foreign forces to fight in Ukraine. There are multiple strains, and they are not just economic, they are also social and they are psychological. And the huge support that Putin has inside Russia is very volatile. This is the kind of support that can disappear as swiftly as it arose. They're aware of this. They're aware of weaknesses we do not see. It's therefore so easy for us to believe the image which they create, that we can do much worse to you, that we can damage other countries. A country under this degree of strain and stress has no rational political reason to widen the theater of conflict. So I think this is not adequately understood. And people, as ever, are confused about what is a real threat and what is disinformation.
And as far as somewhere like Latvia is concerned, then, would the ultimate aim be to create a sort of client state, or is it just to sort of keep muddying things and keep everything as messy as possible?
Either would serve the purpose, to damage confidence, to create a low level of instability, but also ideally to create a political correlation of forces in Latvia that is more amenable to dealing with Russia on Russia's terms. Cyprus was mentioned today. I am not an expert on Cyprus, but I have no doubt that Russia will feel more comfortable with Europe if there are many more Cypresses in Europe. This is why Russia invests so heavily, I think more heavily than we're even able to estimate at the present time, in illiberal, anti-liberal, and Eurosceptic movements in Europe. And I think what we have seen of this so far is probably the tip of an iceberg. I think this has gone on far longer, and it's far more extensive than we suppose. And if the present system of power in Russia should collapse the way it did in 1991 and all the information suddenly becomes available, I think we will be truly shocked at how much they have been investing in undermining us from within. But that's their preferred mode of operation. And if you look at Russia's entire history, anyone who is part of this political, security, and military culture in Russia, even going back to the Mongol period, understands you cannot conquer, you cannot even weaken a stronger people or a serious opponent without the use of division and without undermining them from inside. I'm going to just add one thing. There was an old Soviet axiom: look for your vulnerabilities, and there you will find the KGB, now called something else.
And if I might just ask one more question.
Yes.
It's almost become a bit of a cliche to not just talk about Russia's hybrid warfare, but Russia's sophisticated hybrid warfare. Is it true to characterize it as sophisticated, or is it crude? Is it a blunt instrument or a precision instrument?
Very good question. What it looks more sophisticated than it is, because the people exposed to it do not understand the rules of the game that Russia is playing. Once you understand Russia's rules of the game and its methodology, a lot of what they're doing looks very clumsy and unskillful.